Some people take lessons, and after a little while, they can understand. Some people take a really long while to understand. Some people have been taking lessons for a very long while since the last monastery, and they still don't get it, and still can't practice. It all depends on previous good doings. Some people have been collecting good doings since their previous lives, and it all just takes a little bit of nudge, and that brings back the understanding. And it all varies from person to person. Some people have really strong defilements, and that requires strong, violent practice. Maybe you need fasting and fighting along a lot of fighting against the defilements would require a lot of patience to fight against really strong defilements. But if you have weaker defilements, then your practice may not be as strong and intense. So everyone's practice will be different, and it varies according to your own characteristics. For some people, your good qualities and your bad qualities don't cancel out. Your good qualities indicate whether you'll be enlightened quickly or not. Your bad qualities will indicate whether your practice will be very difficult or easy. Your good quality also determines whether you will be enlightened quickly or not. So every one of us here wants the results very quickly and very easily. So look at ourselves. Look at our own faith. Is our faith very good? How about our diligence? Is that good? Can we have our diligence by ourselves, or do we need our teachers to remind us to practice every day? How about our mindfulness? Do we have mindfulness all day long, or do we need to be reminded by someone else to be mindful throughout the day? Okay, raise your hand if you can be mindful throughout the day by yourself. And raise your hand if it takes a really long time for you to be mindful throughout the day. So, if it takes you a really long time to be mindful throughout the day, it's not surprising that it will take you a long time to be enlightened. So the next one is your stability of your mind, or samadhi. So if your samadhi is not there, the power for enlightenment is still weak. And next one is wisdom. Is that weak or is it strong? And when I say the wisdom is weak, I'm not talking about idiocy. Talking about the wisdom in the Buddhism sense, the wisdom that allows you to see the three characteristics of the composites: the impermanence, the decay, and the non-self of the composites. So you can measure these five characteristics of power of practice yourself. So look at your faith. Can you practice for 15 minutes every day? Can you do that? If you cannot, just raise your hands. if you cannot do it by 15 minutes every day, and then you just keep getting on, keep getting off, and turn your back towards what, and then if you don't do it, then I can assure you your practice is going to be slow. Well, then look at your defilements. See whether it's strong or weak. Anyone here getting angry every 5 minutes or less? How about every minute? Yeah, well, there are people like that. Well, I'm not talking about people who have strong anger, but how about just a tiny bit of disagreement in the mind, tiny bit of discomfort in the mind. So if you have weak defilements, then the practice can be pretty comfortable. But if your defilements are strong, then the practice has to be more intense. When the defilements are strong, dragging you to get on social media, play Facebook or chatting on internet, then you have to resist those. So, do people really want to have serious practice? Yeah, maybe some people do. Some monks actually do. So, we like intense practice. We like other people to take intense practice except us. So we may have weak power and strong defilements, but then we take weak practice, but then we don't get results. And that's because we don't practice something that is appropriate for Dhamma. And that's why we don't get results. I have met many teachers, and each one of them is a really strong fighter. And there are very few of them that really had strong powers since previous lives. One of them was Longpo Dun, and he learned Dhamma from Longpo Man, his teacher, and it took him for only a few months to learn the entire Dhamma from his teacher. Longpo Dun learned the entire Dhamma from Longpo Man within only a few months because his power is extremely strong. Of all these five elements of power, he had the strongest fifth element, which is wisdom element. And that's why it allows him to progress really quickly through the study of Dhamma. If you pass away after you attain the third level of enlightenment, you become a Brahma in Suttavata Bhum. And in Suttavata Bhum, you can be in five levels depending on your strength. The first level is dominated by your strength in faith, and the last level, which is the strongest level, they have their strength or their dominating characteristic is wisdom. So the one that determines whether you progress very quickly through your practice is the wisdom. There are three kinds of Samma Sambuddha. The one that uses wisdom, or the one that uses diligence. For example, the next Buddha, Maitreya, uses diligence to be his vehicle for enlightenment. And the Maitreya has actually started to practice to get his Buddhahood even before the current Buddha, which used wisdom as a base for a vehicle to reach Buddhahood. So the current Buddha started more than 20 Asongkhaya eons ago and got to reach Buddhahood very, very soon because he used wisdom as his vehicle, while Maitreya started even before because he used diligence as his vehicle. I have never seen a monk with as much wisdom as my teacher Lungpu Dun. He understood many, many things in the universe, from the smallest of the atoms until things as big as the galaxies. His teacher Lungpu Man taught him to practice, but Lungpu Man had really many students, so it took Lungpu Man a long time to practice for himself. But Lungpu Dun did not have many students, so it took Lungpu Dun a much shorter time to practice for himself. Lungpu Man taught Lungpu Dun to see that the memory elements are impermanent and non-self, and the composite thoughts elements are impermanent and a non-self. And when the memory elements got brought up by the mind mark it or see it in the wrong way, and that brings up endless rebirth from wrong view. So the practice is to have mindfulness and see that through the right view. And the right view is to see that it's impermanent and it is non-self. So after Lungpu Dun was seeing that for a few months, he understood it. And you can see the teaching on inscription of the statue in front of this building. But the inscription is not 100% correct. It should say, mind seeing the mind leads to arahatama, or the highest level of the path leading to arahatship, or the path leading to the highest level of enlightenment. And when Lungpu Dun first said this, many monks were not happy about that statement and were trying to attack him, trying to derobe him, and trying to gather other monks to attack Lungpu Dun. But over time, the time has proven that his teachings were more correct. Lungpu Dun also teaches many students to practice by not only looking at the mind. He also taught many of the students to look at the body as well. So for people who have been doing a lot of meditation and the mind gets too still or too rigid, the right way to start out would be to look at the body and start to look at the body moving, and then you can see the mind moving later. So just last week, I went to pay respect to another teacher called Kruba Insom. And he told me that many people these days just do meditation and then the mind gets locked up in doing nothing, which makes no progress. He made a comment that you need a little bit of concentration before you can start learning about the wisdom. And you don't need a very, very deep concentration to learn about the wisdom. And from the evidence in the scripture, even in the Buddha time, the majority of the Buddha's Arahant students, most of them don't get very deep concentration when they learn about Vipassana. They use the lightest level of concentration to study about the wisdom in Vipassana. So there's no need to look down on the lightest type of concentration called Kanika Samadhi. One thing that I really recommend you to do is every day you should practice that. You see that the mind actually get lost, and then you detect that the mind gets lost. Once you detect the mind getting lost, you get another kind of concentration, another mindfulness, knowing that the mind gets lost. And then keep noticing that the mind gets lost, the mind gets lost, the mind gets lost. And after a while, this process of knowing the mind gets lost, the mind gets lost, will lead to the mind having a lot more concentration. But the trick is, don't be bothered, don't be angered by this. Otherwise, you have another anger by this process, because the mind itself is uncontrollable. You cannot control whether it's going to get wandered away and get lost, wander away and get lost. So keep inspecting, or keep looking at that, and you see that even the mind is not controllable, it's non-self. And then you see that the path that I'm telling you to walk is pretty short. And if you walk this path by using wisdom, the path is not that long. But if you try to walk it any other way, the path is much longer. So, recommend you to keep looking until you see the tri characteristics of the compositions, the aggregates.